This is the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. We're joined today by the Honorable Dusty Johnson from South Dakota, member of the House Ag Committee. Great to see you.
Thank you.
Okay, it's been a busy time in D.C., a lot of hearings and a lot of things going on, but it's also been busy back at home. What have you heard from the state?
Well, people are talking about inflation. And obviously, from an ag producer's perspective, that means higher input costs. They're particularly concerned about the price of fuel. And I think this is, we're a long ways from the end of this inflationary cycle. I think that's a problem. It's not going to go away in a couple of weeks or a couple of months. Hopefully, we can get this under control without putting ourselves into a recession.
Now, when we talk about the recession, or moving towards a recession, there's been a lot of things that have affected ag. We have seen higher prices, but we also have seen higher input prices. Are you hearing some concerns from that as well?
Yeah, I mean, clearly when you get beans in the teens, people start out by feeling pretty good. And we've had quite a rally in the cattle markets in the last 18 months. I'm not insinuating prices are perfect, but they're clearly better than they were. And we've seen that, not necessarily in rice, but just about every other commodity group is in better shape today than they were. But you're right, input costs seem to be gobbling up a lot of those gains. And there are some policy implications. When people look at reference pricing for the Title I commodity programs that are in the Farm Bill, people wonder if we should update some of those reference prices, given the fact that it is so much more expensive to run an American farm now than it was 5 years ago.
Heard a lot of talk as well about margins. When we talk dairy, we talk about a margin plan there and how that could potentially work its way into a farm bill. But when we talk about margins, sometimes we forget what a consumer pays is not what a farmer gets for it. Ag processing's kind of in the middle there. Have you been watching that?
Yeah, I think we hear about it the most when it comes to livestock, because people saw such a spike in beef steak prices at the meat counter, and yet the producers were getting, particularly 18 months ago, just a ridiculously low price. And so you saw these two things move in very different directions. And of course, the reason was that we had a choke point at the middle in the processing arena. And the laws of supply and demand were on both sides were really accruing to the benefit of the packers. That is not the case every year, but it certainly has been the case for the last 3 or 4 years, even pre-pandemic. So people do talk about how do we make that supply chain a little more resilient? How do we add some more processing capacity? And at least in the livestock space, you know, my Butcher Block Act that we passed out of the House here a few weeks ago, we had convinced the administration a year ago that it was the right thing to do, so they have implemented it. It is making, you know, $500 million available to small and regional processors for them to expand their operations or break into the business new. That's going to create a lot more shackle space outside of the big four. That is going to help.
Are there concerns, though, that at one time we had that, and then we saw the consolidation? Is there concern about maybe outside involvement coming into other areas of ag?
Yeah, a bill that I've been a leader on here, it would actually tell the Chinese government and Chinese government-affiliated businesses that they couldn't come in and gobble up American agricultural businesses. China's not our friend. I mean, they're an adversary. We need to take them at their word. They've been pretty clear about that. And the same is true, by the way, for North Korea and Russia. These are countries that want to do us harm, and I don't think we should give them, in essence, unfettered access to gobble up American farmland or American ag processing plants. The reality is food security is national security, and I think we have got to be more strategic about who do we allow control over these critically important supply chains.
Does that really work into a piece of legislation that's now been signed into law, the Ocean Shipping
Reform Act,
yeah. And just trying to level that playing field?
Yeah, this is another area where concentration has caused real damage. And I'll say, listen, I'm a believer in the free market. The free market is the most powerful force that you can unleash on any problem. But a free market is many buyers and many sellers. And when you have too much concentration, then individual players can have asymmetrical power. And that does create problems. And what we saw in the ocean shipping area is that these ocean carriers, all of whom now are foreign flagged, the big five, went from controlling about 15% of the market 30 years ago to now controlling 70 or 75% of the market today. That's a big problem. And so they were not treating American ag shippers fairly. There was an unprecedented level of rejections, just a refusal to put American ag products into empty containers. 60% of the containers that went back to Asia last year went back empty. And in the dairy industry alone, that's one American industry in just 6 months, that cost them billions of dollars. And the reports, the analysis are frankly shocking about how much harm was done. And so the Ocean Shipping Reform Act, done with John Garamendi of California and myself in the House, and then John Thune and Amy Klobuchar in the Senate, signed into law by Joe Biden just a few weeks ago, tells these foreign flagged ocean carriers that they have to play fair. They cannot unreasonably discriminate against American ag goods. If they've got a ship going to the right place at the right time with capacity, they've got to put that American dairy, American beef, beans, corn in the ship.
Obviously, export customers are vital for U.S. ag, but there's a domestic industry here as well, and ethanol has been one of those.
Yeah.
A great customer, a buyer of U.S. corn, but we've had some challenges of having availability of, let's say, E15 nationwide. Are we close to cleaning that up?
I think we are. And you know, the 30-second backstory is that, ethanol, E10, does have more smog-producing ability than E0. So they had to create a special exception for E10. Now, E10 is environmentally much stronger than gasoline, if you care about carbon. If you care about smog, it does evaporate into the air more quickly during the summer months than E0. So they had a special carve-out for E10, and that was all good and well. That served American interests. But the special carve-out didn't specifically mention E15. And so as a result, the EPA has not allowed people to buy E15 year-round. They have not allowed convenience store owners to sell it year-round. It's been a real problem. And in particularly in an environment where we have gasoline at $4 or $4.50, being able to move, and I'm not talking about any mandates, I'm saying somebody who wants to buy E10, giving them the ability to buy E15, that would over time unleash an extra 8 billion gallons of liquid fuel every year on the marketplace. If you believe in the laws of supply and demand, adding that much more supply to the marketplace would have a bigger impact on the price of fuel than anything else we could do. And even if you never bought a gallon of gasoline, you would pay less for gas because of the impact, the downward pressure that would put on price. It has taken too long, but we have had a big bipartisan success. I led the way in getting that package through the House, was one of a number of people who led the way in getting that package through the House just about a month ago. It's on the way to the Senate. Let's hope the Senate passes year-round E15 quickly. Let's get it signed into law.
So good to see you. Mm-hmm. Can we do this again down the road?
Anytime you want, Tony.
Again, it's the Honorable Dusty Johnson, who's a member of the House Ag Committee from South Dakota, on today's Agribusiness Report.